Proverbs chapter number 16, if you're physically able, invite you to stand. We're going to read 10 verses out of Proverbs 16 tonight, starting in verse number 20. I say this almost every Wednesday night, and I know it's repetitive, but it's just what's on my heart at this point every time when we get to this time every week. And that is, I love the practicality of the book of Proverbs. I just love how the things that God's Word gives us, it just applies to everyday life. And I can see as I study week in and week out, and I put these messages together, I can just see, yep, this applies to today. I'm going to wake up tomorrow, and this message, like so many others, I'm going to put them right into practice today, tomorrow, and they meet us right where we are. Sound wisdom for successful living. Proverbs 16, verse number 20, the Bible says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart, they shall be called prudent. And the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Violent man enticeth his neighbor, leadeth him into a way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass." Let's pray. Father, thank you one more time for the opportunity that we have to be together, for the fellowship, for the singing, for the corporate prayer time, for all that's happened tonight. God, I pray that you'd just be so gracious, if you would, to put your hand upon the time now that we come to where the Word of God is going to be preached. Pray that you'd help us to see the truths that are here, and not just hear them and be hearers of the Word of God, but God, we would take and apply them to our lives and become doers of the Word of God. We love you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. About 2 years ago, I was at the state cross-country meet in Waco. And for those of you that have never been to a cross-country meet, the way that it normally works in a starting line is they'll have a chalked-off line, but then they'll have chalked-off boxes. And depending on how many teams are there in that cross-country meet, each box will be numbered. And so if there's 20 teams or 30 teams, or they're expecting 35, 40 teams, there's a number in each box. And then, of course, your team is assigned a box. And that's where you go and line up at. And then when the gun goes off, you start from that box. And that's where you run out of. And so this was the biggest meet, obviously, of the year. It was the state championship. And there was probably about 8 minutes left and before our race time. And they're very meticulous in these races that they start you right on time. And because everybody has a routine and they want to get you right to where you are so you know exactly when you're going to go off and all the runners are ready. And so there's about 8 minutes before, and so I was standing there with the team, and I was just going over some last-minute instructions with them. Same thing I say almost every race. It was no different for this race. Looked at all of them, and I said, "All right, here's what I want you to do. I want every one of you to lean over, to grab your shoelaces, and I want you to pull them tight one more time. Can't have any shoelaces coming loose on a state championship race, so let's make sure they're good and snug." And so they all did that. And then again, one more time, I said, "Now guys, remember, All right, we cannot let this moment dictate our pace or our race plan. I know it's a big moment, and some of the runners are going to go out fast, but you know what you're supposed to do, and you know what your pace is supposed to be. And so I want you to settle into your pace very quickly, and don't let what's going on in the big moment, don't let it affect you and get you out of your race plan. So settle into your pace early. Listen, just stay loose, guys. Come on, relax. It's all right. You've been running your whole life. Stay loose. Breathe. Everybody take some deep breaths. It's going to be okay. So I'm going through all of this, and a TAPS worker, TAPS, that's the association we run with, TAPS, Texas Association of Private and Parochial Schools, and a TAPS worker came along in front of the boxes, and she began to say, hey, I need everybody that's not a runner to move behind the next line. They're about 10 feet behind the boxes. There was another line, and they wanted everybody to get behind them. I was thankful for that because these races, just the way they are, parents and friends and just all sorts of people kind of start crowding in, and you really need them just to get out of the way so the runners can get focused on running. And so I was very appreciative of her saying that. And so she said that, and most of the parents and everybody started backing up, and I encouraged them, hey, they want you to get behind that line, and they were all very kind at that. The lady went all the way down to the final box, and she came back, and I was still standing in the box with the team. I'm the coach. That's allowed. But evidently, she didn't think it was allowed, because she immediately, when she saw me still in the box, after she had told everyone to get back, she stopped, and she immediately began to chide me, and not in a kind way. She said, I said for everybody to get behind that line. What are you doing here? I said, get behind that line. You need to get behind that line. I mean, she was just irate. And so I just took a couple of steps toward her, and very kindly I said, yes, ma'am, I apologize, but I'm the coach, and I'm just giving my team some last-minute instructions. To which she immediately responded, I don't care who you are. I said to get behind the line. And when I say get behind the line, you get... And I'm just kind of taken back. So about this time, I'm ready to get behind the line because I wasn't sure what she was going to do. But before I did, the preacher in me, the man in me, I just had to say one thing. And I said, I started to turn around and walk toward the line. I stopped. And I, you know what, ma'am? She looked at me. What? I said, there is a nice way to say things, a kind way to say things, and there's a rude way to say things. You might just stop and consider using the first instead of the second. It'll get you a lot farther. How many of you have thought that before? Told you our series through Proverbs. It's been called Sound Wisdom for Successful Living. Godly wisdom for daily living. We all need wisdom to live our day-to-day lives. If this study hasn't benefited anybody else, I'm telling you, it's benefited me. And I'll tell you what I need tonight out of this text is I need the reminder that comes out of this text that basically tells me exactly the same thing that I told my friend who is the TAPS worker. There's a kind way. There's a helpful way to speak to and communicate with people. But there's also a rude and destructive way. And ultimately, it's your choice which one you're going to use. I want you to look at the principle that the whole section begins with. Verse number 20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Okay, I want to ask you a very tough question. I know it's a Wednesday night. Kids have been at school. You've been quizzed all day. And I know you're not ready for a pop quiz, but I'm going to give it to you. And it's a tough one. It's a tough question. And so take a second and think about it before you answer, maybe not out loud, but to yourself. But I want to ask this question. How many of you prefer to live a good life? No, it's a tough one, isn't it? Okay. How many of you prefer to have, maybe a word I would use is happiness? You like happiness in your life. You want a good life with happy relationships. Most of you are shaking your heads at me. I'm shocked. I didn't expect everybody that they would want to live a good and happy life with good and happy relationships. It's amazing. Well, the good news is, verse 20 tells us a timeless truth. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. So you want to have a good life, a happy life with good and happy relationships. Solomon's about to give it to us. He's going to tell us, hey, here's how it's going to go down. Here's how you need to do this. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. See, this principle right here in verse number 20, I believe it applies to every area of life. But I always want to keep these verses in context. There's another verse coming up that's a very familiar verse. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We use that often, and it's absolutely a timeless principle, a timeless truth, but we want to keep that tonight as well within the context of these 10 verses. And if we keep them in the context of these 10 verses, I believe this is what Solomon is saying to us. He's saying, son, listen, communication is a difficult thing at times. We all have relationships. And relationships are hard. And communicating properly is really the key to having good relationships. And son, what I want you to understand is there's two ways you can communicate to people. You can either be kind and helpful, or you can be rude and destructive. Son, as you look at your life, if you want good relationships and you want to be happy and other people to be happy with you, then learn how to use your tongue right. Use it in a way that honors God. And then he's going to go on in verses 21, 22, 23, and 24. He's going to tell us, really, this is how you use your tongue rightly. This is the way that we want to be kind and helpful and build others up. This is the way that we do that. And then in 25 through 30, he's going to show us the destructive way. Amazing verses here. Verse 21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of lips increaseth learning. Verse 24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. This idea here in verse 21, sweetness of the lips, or pleasant words is what that would refer to. It's not dealing with flattery. All of us can spot that a million miles away when somebody's just flattering us or just trying to say something to butter us up. It's not just saying what people like to hear. Here's what it's talking about, the sweetness of the lips, using communication right. It means that you have mastered the art of speaking truth, but doing so in love. Through your words, you can spread God's grace to others. Because of the way you say things and how you say things will dictate whether people are going to listen to you or not. I'm probably aging myself here, but I believe it was the commercial for E.F. Hutton many years ago that said, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Well, you know, as Christians, when we speak, our communication is rather important. The things we talk about are rather important. And so we would want that people listen. And it's the way you communicate and how you communicate that's going to dictate whether or not people are going to listen to you. I was at a basketball game several years ago. And the coach and Keith happened to be on the team, and the coach was just an exceptionally hard coach. And we're sitting there, and I'm watching him. He's just beating down the players. And some of the, Lisa was sitting with me, and a couple of the moms were right in front, and one of the mom's kid was in junior high, and the other one was on the varsity team at that time, or maybe he was on the JV and Keith was on the varsity. It doesn't matter, but they were there and they're watching what's going on. And the moms turned around and said, the junior high mom turned around and said, I'm so thankful that my son doesn't play for that man. I couldn't stand for him to play for that man. And I responded to her and I said, you know, spent enough time around that man, I can tell you he's one of the smartest basketball guys I've ever been around. He's forgotten more about basketball than I will ever know. He's a genius when it comes to basketball. I said, but he struggles when it comes to people. I can tell you, I witnessed it. Probably one of the poorest communicators I've ever been around in my life. Let me ask you, how much do you think his players learned? Not much. In fact, it was a fraction of what they could have learned if he would have known how to communicate and use what is referred to here as the sweetness of lips, because it's the sweetness of lips that increases learning. Why does it increase learning? Because it increases the desire that people have to listen to us. See, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. Have you ever said this? Well, my wife, she just won't listen to me, or my husband never listens to me. I don't know what's wrong with those kids. They just don't listen to me. Man, I'm so sick of my teacher, my boss. They just don't listen to me. Is it because they refuse to listen? Or may we consider tonight it's because of the way we communicate? Wise in heart shall be called prudent. The sweetness of lips increaseth learning. Pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You know, toast by itself, pretty bland. I was eating with Fowler's and the Ellingtons a couple Saturdays ago. We were at Cracker Barrel, asked for some wheat toast. They brought out the wheat toast, but there was no butter on it. It was just dry wheat toast, and there was no jelly on the table. I looked at this stack of toast, and I thought to myself, well, that's useless. You would too. No butter, no jelly. It's just dry, crunchy bread. Who wants that? Basically a crouton for breakfast. So the waiter came by and he said, can I get you anything else? I said, how about some strawberry jelly? Can I get an amen there? Strawberry, blackberry. If there's anything else that you want or like, well, you're just weird, because strawberry and blackberry, that's all you need. And so I took it, put some butter on there, spread some strawberry jelly on there. And now this plate of just plain yucky toast, all of a sudden, bam, it's appetizing. I'm excited about this toast. Here's what I believe this portion of Scripture is saying, all right? This is my interpretation of it. You ready? Put some jam in your communication. All right? Make it where somebody would want to listen. Talk in the right way. I was having a conversation on Monday with Brother Mason and just dealing with how my mindset on dealing with situations. And here's what I said. I said, I always try to think of the win-win when communicating with people. See, I'm not going to back off of truth. I'm not going to back off of principles. I'm not going to back off of where we stand. But at the same time, I'm not backing off, and I'm going to be hard on some areas. I'm going to find a way to communicate in a way or to do something that will cause the person I'm communicating with to feel like, hey, this isn't all bad. Okay, let me explain. Have you ever watched a politician get a hard question? Now, some of them are just cantankerous. Well, a lot of them are just cantankerous. But the smart ones that want to get reelected, you know what they do when they get that difficult question? They look the person in the eye and they say, thank you, David, for that question. That's a great question, and I know a lot of people are interested in that. And I appreciate you asking me that, because I'd love to answer that. You know what they're doing? They're building, yeah, stalling. Sometimes that's the case. Well played. Listen, I'm communicating tonight, not you. No, they build up. Now, I don't always trust their sincerity, but I appreciate that they understand the biblical principle of put a little honey on it. Use your words. Build up. Before you give the people something they don't necessarily want to hear, build them up. As Christian spouses, parents, students, employees, employers, we should be able to speak in sincerity. We should be able to speak to people both in a way that builds them up, but never compromises the truth. Verse 24 says, it's like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. See, speaking in this manner, it's sweet to the soul, it's health to the bones. In other words, it makes a person feel good inside and out and helps them to grow. When you communicate with your children, build them up. It doesn't mean you have to back off of truth. But not everything they do is bad. Not everything they do is negative. Not everything they do is worthy of tearing them down. There's some good things there, and find those and spend some time on them and build them up. Encourage them. Help them. We can use our words in a wise and helpful way, a kind and helpful way, or a destructive way. Look at verse 22 real quick. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. So use your words in a kind and helpful way. But verse 22, I really think, is dealing with the idea of pursue understanding. But before you communicate, try to understand. Stephen Covey said it best in his book, I think. Seek first to understand and then to be understood. Solomon says, understanding is like a well that continually refreshes itself. So many times we respond, we react, we speak before we have all the facts. And Solomon is saying, no, wait. If you're going to use your lips the right way that builds people up, that causes good and happy relationships, if you're going to speak in a way that's going to bring health to the bones of those we communicate, well, then you're going to have to go to the place of understanding because it's a wellspring of life. It gives life there to him that has it. It's instruction. It's a good thing. Verse 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. In other words, we need to allow our heart to control your words. The wise carefully select what they say and do not say. They have great discernment. They know what needs to be said, and they know what needs to be left unsaid. By the way, not everything that comes to your mind needs to be said. Not everything you want to say should be said. The idea of heart here is the same as Daniel purposed in his heart that he'd not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, or when it talks about David and that fact that he was a man after God's own heart. That's the idea here. The heart is the centermost part of man that's in tune with the things of God. And so in other words, here's what Solomon is saying when he says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Before you speak, you're going to stop and say, wait a second, my heart's in tune with God. What would God want here? How would God want me to speak? What would God want me to say? How would God want me to communicate to my spouse? How would God want me to communicate to my children? Would He want me to build them up and help them and encourage them and strengthen them? Or does He want me to use my tongue in a way that's going to destroy them? I think we know the answer. And so then we come to verses 25 through 30 and we see the rude, the destructive way that destroys people. Look at verse 25. This is amazing that it's right here. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. All throughout these verses, you find the lips, the tongue, the words. We see. So we know this is dealing with communication. So here's what Solomon is getting at. Speaking in a kind way that builds others up, it's not always our first instinct. It's not always our natural reaction. In fact, there's another way of communicating. And that way of communicating, it seems right at the time. But Solomon says the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, it seems right that I let them have it. It seems right that I tell them where I stand. It seems right that I get in their face and I clear this up and we speak in a way. There's a way that seems right. But the tragedy is that if it's not led from a heart from God, and it's not done in a way that builds up, and it causes death. You know, most marital splits are not caused because of infidelity. Most marital splits are caused because people stop learning how to communicate with one another. Most parent-child problems is not because of just pure out-and-out rebellion. It's because mom and dad don't know how to communicate with one another. Parents know how to communicate with their kids, and kids don't know how to communicate with their parents. Problems in our schools, most of it, the breakdown is communication. We don't know how to communicate anymore because there's a way that seemeth right. And what the end is, it ends up destroying relationships, ends up destroying marriages, it ends up destroying churches. Look at verse 26. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. In other words, this person that uses rude and destructive communication, they focus only on themselves. The idea at the end of verse 26 is that they live by the flesh and they seek to do what only feels right in the moment. I'm telling you, in the moment, my tongue doesn't always want to say the right things. I'll tell them myself. because you could tell a story too, so I know you won't judge me too harshly. So I backed up behind the line. 6 minutes to go. 5 minutes to go. About 4 minutes to go. The guy came out and said, all right, here's what we're going to do. The gun's going to go off in 4 minutes, and here's how it's going to go down. And he finished his speech, and there was 3 minutes to go. My guys have now been standing there still for about 5 or 6 minutes. And so I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you one more time to do a quick sprint. Just common thing. You watch any race, any marathon, anything, guys at the starting line, until the very last minute, they come out of the gun, they reach full speed, and then they back it right back down, and then they get back in the gate. Just way of staying loose. And I said, do it one more time. They did it one more time because their coach told them to. Guess who came over? Oh, yeah, Gertrude. What are you guys doing? I said, I told them to do it. I'm their coach. And she barked something else at me. And in a moment, a very weak moment, I said, you know what, ma'am? You are ugly in every sense of the word. And everybody around me looked at me. No, and I said, no, I mean that in every sense of the word. You are just an ugly person. Kind of loosened my runners up a little bit. They weren't so tense because they were laughing. There was nothing profitable about that. I mean, the team name is all over their jerseys, all over the stuff I'm wearing. Everybody knew, hey, watch out for the coach from that school. No, I'm just telling you, when we live by the flesh and we speak things that come to our mind, it might feel good in the moment, but it kind of took the joy out of winning a state championship, because for the rest of the day I had to feel bad because right there in front of all my runners, I didn't act in a very godly way. Verse 27, the ungodly man diggeth up evil, and his lips there is a burning fire. You know what the ungodly person does? They're always looking for dirt on everybody else. And as soon as they have it, they crave sharing it with others. There's nothing profitable about that. By the way, you want to find it, there's dirt on everybody. Everybody. You want to find something negative? You don't have to look very far. It's there. The people that do not use their communication right, they dig up evil, and in their lips it's a burning fire. It's out of control. They can't control it. They have to go tell somebody. Verse 28, the froward man soweth strife, and a whispereth separateth chief friends. Froward or perverse people are troublemakers. They distort the truth in order to create trouble or conflict. They have one goal in mind, and that is to cause division, spreading gossip for the purpose of destroying friendships. I put in my notes, doesn't that sound like a junior high girls department? Just at each other? Trying to distort the truth. I'm going to spread division. Well, she doesn't like me, or I don't like her. And it is. Was a youth pastor plenty long enough? It's exactly what it sounds like. The sad thing is it sounds like a lot of churches too. Sounds like a lot of homes and families. Sad thing is how many adult men and women do the same thing in churches, at the job, and everywhere else. Look at the last two verses. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, leadeth them into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to divide froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. In these last two verses, it speaks of the destructive nature of some people. A violent man enticing someone into a place that isn't good. They close their eyes, it says. He shutteth his eyes. He closes his eyes. They don't want to see the pain they cause. They don't want to be held accountable for anything they do. They're stirring up violence. They're leading people into a way that's not good. They're very destructive, and they close their eyes as they do all of these things. You might say, well, how do they do this? How do they stir up this violence, and how do they get people into a place that is not good? Simple. By moving their lips. Simply their communication, they bring this evil to pass. So here's the point tonight. There's a kind and helpful way to speak to people. There's also a rude and destructive way. It's your choice which one you use. I think we can all stop right here on a Wednesday night and say, the words that I've used this week, am I building people up or am I tearing them down? Do you take time to understand and allow your heart to control your words? so that you can speak both the truth and build up? Win-win? Or do you close your eyes to the effects of your tongue and just do what seems right in the moment, leaving a wake of destruction in your path? As God's people, we're called upon to minister to others. The best way we can do that is through our voices, communicating. So let's use our voices, let's use our mouths, our tongues, our lips, and all the ways that it's said here in Proverbs 16. Let's use it in a way that is used for good and not for bad. It's our choice.